Now we're going to read once again from the Bible this evening in Acts chapter 2, please. We'll make reference to another couple of passages perhaps as time goes on. If you've been here at these little sessions before, you'll know that what we're doing is that we're looking at Acts chapter 2 at 7 of the fundamental features of the Christian life. 7 things that ought to mark every believer, every Christian, every believer in the Lord Jesus ought to be characterised by these 7 things that we're reading about in Acts chapter 2, verse 41. And we read there these words: "They that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and in fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers." Now let's go back, please, and read just a couple of verses in Matthew's Gospel, please, chapter 26. Matthew's Gospel 26, because what we're really going to be considering this evening is the third of these 4 things that we have in verse 42 of Acts. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in the breaking of bread. And that's what I want us to speak about and think about this evening. So just a couple of verses in Matthew's Gospel 26. Now the setting of Matthew 26 is that it's the night before the Lord Jesus is crucified. And he has met in an upper room with his 12 disciples. And Matthew 26, verse 26 says that as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it. That is, he gave God thanks for the bread. He took bread and blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." And just a final reading, please, in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 11. The Apostle Paul is writing this letter to the Christians in Corinth, and he's dealing with some issues regarding how Christians ought to meet together, and so on. And 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we'll just begin to read perhaps at verse 23, just for the sake of the connection. The Apostle Paul says, "I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death until he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation," the word is judgment, condemnation if you like, "eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. But if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come." Now we'll deal just with these various portions of the Bible as we go down and make reference to one or two others as well. So I want to speak this evening about what we've already referred to as the breaking of bread. And you might or might not agree with me when I say that in the minds of many of the believers, in the minds of many of the Christians, it is, if not the most important meeting of all, it is certainly one of the most precious meetings of all. It's a meeting that in many ways is very unique. When you go through the New Testament, you will find, I think I'm right in saying, 7 different types of meetings for Christians. And really what we're going to think about this evening is just one of those meetings that we often call the breaking of bread. It's sometimes referred to as the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I think you'll find there it's called the Lord's Supper. We sometimes refer to it as the remembrance meeting, or occasionally the morning meeting, because we tend to hold it in the morning. Occasionally we call it the worship meeting, and Christians use these various titles to describe this particular meeting that we're going to be thinking about this evening. The Bible really only refers to it in two ways. It describes it as the breaking of bread, because really in one sense it is, I suppose you could say, a symbolic meal. That's really what it is. It's a symbolic meal. The expression breaking of bread really means to sit down and to have a meal together. Now that's not just a New Testament phrase. I think I'm right in saying you'll find it in several classical writers. I'm sure that in Charles Dickens, on at least one occasion, he makes reference to breaking bread, and he just means having a meal together. And what the Bible is teaching us is that this particular meeting for Christians is a symbolic meal. So we'll think about that just a little bit later on. It's also described as the Lord's Supper, and it's described as the Lord's Supper, I suggest, to distinguish it from an ordinary meal that we would have together, perhaps just in the house. We would have some folks round to the house, or we would meet together, and you go to a restaurant or something with friends. Well, the Apostle Paul makes it very clear, that's not the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper, the breaking of bread, in the biblical sense of the word, is a very different thing. A meeting for Christians, a symbolic meal when we come together in that way. The purpose of the gathering, we didn't read from Luke's Gospel, we'll make reference to Luke's Gospel just in a second. The purpose of the gathering is to remember the Lord Jesus. To remember the Lord Jesus. We read in 1 Corinthians 11 that when the Lord Jesus had gathered his own there, he took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and so on, and he said, "This do in remembrance of me." And so we're going to see that the purpose of that is for us to remember the Lord Jesus. And having remembered him, it's a natural response of the heart of a Christian that we give God thanks for him. And that is really the purpose of the meeting for breaking bread. It's not really to come and give God thanks for the fact that we've been saved. Now, we're glad that we've been saved. Don't misunderstand that. We're glad that we've been saved. But really, when we come to break bread, to remember the Lord Jesus, we come to give God thanks for him. For what he is, for the sort of man that he was, for the sort of man that he is, for what he has done, and all these kind of things, we come to remember the Lord Jesus. So that's the purpose of the gathering. I want to think as well about the procedure of the gathering. Some folk find alliteration helpful and others don't, but we're trying to make it one or two things alliterate tonight just to make them easy to remember. Thought about the purpose of the gathering. I just want to think very briefly about the procedure for the gathering. Now, it's very important for us to understand that when we come to our New Testament, there is no format that is laid out for the meeting to break bread. We'll see just a little bit more detail that there's certain requirements, but there's no format. The Bible doesn't say when you come together, this is how the meeting must proceed. There's no format that is laid out. But by and large, and there are perhaps one or two here who have not been to a meeting like this before, so we'll just take a moment or so to explain what would happen in the assembly here, in the meeting here, when the Christians would meet to break bread. We meet to break bread at 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning. It's the first meeting of the day, the first meeting of the week, Sunday being the first day of the week, and we meet first of all because we want first of all to start the week by giving God thanks for his Son. We want to give something to God first of all. That's a biblical principle, that in everything God must have the first place, and therefore we meet first of all in the week to give God thanks for the person of the Lord Jesus. And when we meet, the seats are arranged essentially in a circle. Those of course who are regulars here will know all this. And in the centre there will be a table, and on the table there will be a loaf of bread and a cup of wine. Symbolic meal. And what will happen is that as the meeting proceeds, some of the men will stand and suggest a hymn that we would sing, or some will stand and pray and give God thanks for the Lord Jesus, for sending him, for the sort of man that he was, for what he has done, and all these kind of things. And the meeting will proceed in that way for around about an hour. Now again, there's no reason why it has to be an hour. It's just a sort of custom that we would have in the way that we would do these things. And after about an hour has passed, one of the men will come forward to the table that sits in the centre. And they'll take the bread, and they'll give thanks for the bread, and they'll break the loaf of bread, and then that loaf of bread will be passed round the company, and each member of the company will take a little bit and eat of that. And then similarly, when that has happened, someone will give thanks for the cup of wine, which is then poured into the cup and passed round the company. Each will take a little. So that is the essential format of meeting to break bread in the assembly here. So I'm sure the question will arise in your mind, what's all of this about? What's the point of it all? What are we doing? Why do we bother? And of course, to answer that question, we have to come back and look at what the New Testament says. Because the answer to every question, whether it's the big questions of life, or whether it's questions of church practice, or whether it's questions of anything in between, the answer to every question, every important question in life, is found in the New Testament, found in the Bible. And that is God's guidebook and God's handbook for us. And that is why we're reading these verses about what the early church did, because God has set out for us the pattern and the practice that these people followed. So I want us to look at the breaking of bread this evening under three very simple headings. Douglas said we always try to have 3 points. I suppose that's because it's easier to remember. But we're going to try and have 3 points this evening. Really, you read about the breaking of bread in three separate sections of the New Testament. You read about it in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. You don't really read about it in John, but you read about it in these first three Gospels, the story of the life of the Lord Jesus. And really what we're going to describe that is we're going to think there about the establishment of the breaking of bread. It was established by the Lord Jesus. It was instituted by him. He was the one that started it. So we're going to think about the establishment of it as we find it in the Gospels. You read about it in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, the practice of the early church, and we're going to think there about the example of the early church. So we've got the establishment of it by the Lord Jesus. We've got the example of the early church. And then you come into 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and 11, you find it there. And we're going to think there about the explanation of it. Establishment, the example, and the explanation of what it's really all about. We read in Matthew's Gospel chapter 26, and you find there one of the accounts of what we refer to as the upper room. That was the occasion when the Lord Jesus met, the night before he was crucified. He met with his disciples. He knew he was going to be crucified, and he met with his disciples, and the reason that he met with his disciples on that occasion was this, that he wanted to leave with them a memorial of himself, something for them to remember him by. He knew he was going away. He didn't want them to forget him. He didn't want them to lose their affection for him. And so he left behind a memorial. Now, we sometimes use the word memorial in the sense of a monument that's left to someone who's dead. It's not really that sense. But he wanted to leave behind something by which these disciples would remember him. Something by which Christians would keep him fresh in their minds. And so he left this memorial of himself. And you'll find that the accounts in the Gospels, Matthew chapter 26, Mark chapter 14, and Luke's Gospel chapter 22. And you'll find there the various accounts of this occasion. And in Luke's Gospel chapter 22, you have the specific expression, "This do in remembrance of me." So he establishes this this little symbolic meal, as it were, and he says, "Now this is what I want you to do in remembrance of me." So he establishes it on the night in which he was betrayed. Now I want to think, we've already just gone through the details of what he actually did. He took the bread, he gave thanks for it, he broke it, he passed it around the disciples, and each partook of it, and similarly with the cup. And it's one of the wonderful things that the Lord Jesus made it so simple. There's no great requirement for anything other than the basic necessities of life. It's a loaf of bread. It doesn't even say a loaf. Just say he took bread. And there was a cup of wine. And you know, we've made reference to, you know, to the fact that when we come, we've got the table in the middle and the seats are arranged in a circle and so on. There's no need for that. That's just a convenience. It's easiest to do it that way. But the Lord Jesus establishes this ceremony, if we can use that expression, this symbolic meal as a memorial to himself. And he makes it so simple, just a loaf of bread and a cup of wine, and he says, when you come together, you take the bread, you give thanks, you break it, you pass it one to another, you partake of it, and you do it in remembrance of me. So it might be wise just to say at this point, there are those who teach that when we come together in this way, the bread and the wine become the body of the Lord Jesus and the blood of the Lord Jesus. The Bible never teaches that. Let's be very clear. There is a hymn that we sometimes sing which says something like, it's only bread and it's only wine. Now that is true. It never becomes anything other than bread and wine. It doesn't become the body of the Lord Jesus. These things are there purely as symbols. I was going to have a little object lesson this evening, but if I was to, for example, hold up a little photograph and say, this is my wife, nobody would be so foolish as to think that I was married to a piece of cardboard 6 centimetres by 4 or whatever, 6 inches by 4. It's symbolic. And so when the Lord Jesus says, this is my body, this is my blood, he's talking symbolically. And what he's saying is that these things are there to remind us of his body and the blood that he shed. It never becomes anything other than bread and wine. So we're going to have to move very quickly this evening. But that is the rest of in the Gospels, Matthew 26, Mark 14, Luke 22, the establishment of the breaking of bread by the Lord Jesus on the night in which he was betrayed, the importance of remembering himself. Then we come to the book of the Acts, and we find there the example of the early church. Now, very often what you find in the New Testament is this, that God does not give us direct commands about church practice. What he does is he shows us what the early church did. And there is a certain sense in which God then expects us to follow that pattern. But the wisdom of God in doing that is this, that there are certain things, certain local situations, certain customs, certain cultures, where perhaps things have to be, the details of things have to be adjusted. So for example, very simple things like, we talked about the fact that we have a table. Now the Bible never says that you have a table. But these are just sort of local conveniences. And what God has done for us in the book of the Acts is he has set out the example of the early church so that we might be able to follow it as far as we possibly can. Four times over, I think, in the book of the Acts, there is reference made to the breaking of bread. And again, we're going to try and alliterate them just so that we can understand them. Four little examples and four principles that mark the breaking of bread in the early church that we really ought to follow. Acts chapter 2, please. Well, maybe just get you to turn to these passages as we go through, just so that you can follow and make sure that what I'm saying is what is actually in the Word of God. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, we've read it already. They continued steadfastly in, among other things, the breaking of bread. Acts 2, verse 42. And I'm going to write over that the word continuity. In other words, it wasn't just a one-off thing. This was something that was practiced continually. They didn't just do it once and then forget it. They made a habit of doing this. They continued steadfastly. And that is one of the very important things about the breaking of bread. It is a regular, continual, ongoing habit of the believers, and it ought to be with us as well in this day and generation. Now, when you come down to verse number 46 of the same chapter, you'll find there the next little thing. Again, speaking of the disciples, it says this, they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. Now, there might be a little difference of opinion. Some might say this is the breaking of bread in terms of a church gathering. Some might say this was just the breaking of bread in the sense of ordinary meals. Well, I want to apply it this evening to the breaking of bread in terms of a church gathering, and I want just to draw this little lesson. We're going to write over this word, locality. In other words, there was no special place in which the Christians met to break bread. It wasn't that they looked on one building and said, this building is the place where we must break bread. We meet in the hall here. There's no need for us to meet in the hall here. In that sense, there's nothing special about the hall, that's what I mean. And if the hall was to burn down tomorrow, well, we hope it won't, but if it did, and there was a classroom in the local school that was available, well, we could meet equally well there. And if there wasn't a classroom available, we could meet in someone's house to break bread. There's nothing special about the actual physical building in which the Christians met. You find that in verse number 46, breaking bread from house to house. A little literal translation, we're in trouble with the English, never mind the Greek. The literal translation would be breaking bread in different houses. Nothing special about the actual building itself. Now, turn over to Acts chapter 20, please, and we'll read just another little verse there. Acts 20 verse 7. And we're going to learn two little lessons from this verse this evening. Speaking now about the journeys of the Apostle Paul. Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. I want to learn two little things from that. Number one, I want to write over that. We thought about the, in Acts chapter 2, we thought about the continuity of it. We thought about the locality of it, the place in which they broke bread. No special place was required. I want to think now about the regularity of it. On the first day of the week. In other words, it was the habit of these disciples to meet together on the first day of the week, Sunday. We sometimes call it the Lord's Day, it's the same thing. These disciples met on the first day of the week. So it wasn't a once a year special. It wasn't a once in a lifetime experience. This was a regular weekly habit. And again, it ought to be the same with us today. We ought to meet, as Christians, we ought to meet on the first day of the week to break bread, because that is the pattern that God has laid down. Now we say again, it's not a command that God has given to us, but there are certain situations in life when a command, if you have to give a command, it shows that things have gone wrong. You see, here's a here's a family, and the father in the family says to the children, come on, it's time for us to have lunch. And the children say, no, I don't want to come and have lunch, and fold their arms and sit in the corner. And the father says, you will come and you'll eat. And the command is given. One or two children are sniggering. There's obviously a hidden agenda there, I think. But the command has been given. And the command has had to be given because it means that something's gone wrong. Disobedience has come in. The father has expressed a desire. And the father has said, I want you to come and have your lunch, because that's good for them. And if the father has then to issue a command, it means that something's gone wrong. If God had to command us to meet regularly to remember the Lord Jesus, something's gone wrong. There ought to be that response in our hearts that when God has set out in his word the pattern for us to live by, there ought to be that response in our hearts that would gladly do it without having in that sense to be commanded. So there is the continuity in Acts chapter 2, there's the locality that we've thought about, there is the regularity, and then when we come down finally again in Acts 20 verse number 7, upon the first day of the week the disciples came together. And I'm going to write over that little expression, the word communality. You might think that's just a big word that says a very simple thing, but really what I mean is this. This wasn't something that they did as individuals. This wasn't a man sitting in his own house. Now, we said there's nothing special about the house, and we understand nothing special about the building, but it wasn't a case that, you know, I sat in my own house and I broke bread to myself, and the other Christians sat in their own houses at the same time and they broke bread. The disciples came together to break bread. This wasn't... Now, you could argue, what about if you're the only Christian in a particular area? We're not thinking about obscure scenarios like that. We're thinking about general principles this evening. And when there are a group of Christians in a particular area, it was God's desire that those Christians came together. They met together in order to break bread and to remember the Lord Jesus. So it wasn't an individual thing in that sense. And although they met in various houses, I take it that was just a matter of convenience, because they didn't have buildings like we have today, specific buildings in which to gather. So we have these various examples of the breaking of bread in the book of the Acts. Very quickly, let's come to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and 11, the explanation of the breaking of bread. What's it all about? What does it mean? We've said it's a symbolic meal. What is it actually symbolising? Well, it symbolises two things. Number one, when we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we Christians, being many, many individuals, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. In other words, when we come together, there's one loaf of bread. And there's one loaf of bread because that symbolizes the fact that every Christian in the world is linked together with every other Christian in the world. And it's such a close fellowship, the Bible describes it as the body of Christ. You've got a body, and it's made up of millions of individual little cells. And those cells are all part of that one body. And it's not one cell functioning on its own and doing this, and another cell doing its own little thing. It's all working together. They're all bound together by one thing. They all form part of your physical body. And in that sense, says the Apostle, the community of Christians throughout the entire world and throughout all of history is bound together, and they form one body. The body, not the physical body, the symbolic body of the Lord Jesus. And so when we come together, we partake of one loaf because it's a symbol of the fact that the Christians throughout the world, every Christian throughout history, is bound together in one body. And so therefore, the breaking of bread symbolizes the unity of the saints, if you like. The unity of Christians, the fact that we are all in the one body. So then we come down into 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 26. And we read there, "As often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death until he come." And so, when we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we're learning this, that when we break bread, when we break the bread, when we drink the wine, it's a symbol of the death of the Lord Jesus. That body of his that was given, I know there's a difference of opinion among my brethren as to whether or not the body is broken, but we're not really going to go into that this evening. The bread is a symbol of the body of the Lord Jesus. We say again, it's only a symbol, it's nothing more than that. But it's a symbol of that body that he gave when he died upon the cross. The wine that we pour out into the cup is a symbol of the blood that he shed when he died upon the cross. And it's a symbol, that symbolic meal that speaks of the fellowship, the unity of believers, it speaks also of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death until he comes." The word is really, you proclaim the Lord's death. And again, if this was a Bible reading, there would be a debate as to who we proclaim it to. And some think that, well, we proclaim it to the world. And if you read some of our hymns, they would certainly agree with that. Some feel, well, really, we proclaim it to each other. And we were, as it were, showing it and demonstrating it to each other. Some have felt that, well, maybe it's the angels that are looking on that see these things. Some have felt that really what we're doing is we're proclaiming it once again to God his Father. And really, we're not going to be dogmatic about that this evening. The point is that when we do this, we show, we demonstrate, we proclaim, we announce the death of the Lord Jesus. We show these things until he comes. You see, it's a reminder to us, isn't it, that every time we meet, it might be for the last time. But if the Bible does say the Lord Jesus is going to come again, and when he comes again and takes all the Christians to heaven, there's going to be no more need for the breaking of bread, because we're going to have the reality, the presence of the Lord Jesus. Very quickly, I said that frequently in our New Testament, God doesn't give us commands when it comes to church practice. God gives us examples. God gives us a pattern to follow. But there are three commands that God has given in connection with the breaking of bread. I want to think about them just very briefly. Number one, Luke's Gospel chapter 22 and verse 19. The Lord Jesus there says, and it's quoted in 1 Corinthians, "Do this in remembrance of me." The Lord Jesus showed them what to do, and then he said to them, "Now, you do it." That is, if I'm a Christian, if I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus, God expects me, the Lord Jesus asked the Lord personally, not through the medium of the Holy Spirit, as he sometimes speaks in other occasions. And not, I know the command comes to us through the writings of the apostles, but he didn't give it as a command for the apostles to he himself said, if you're a Christian, you do this in remembrance of me. And so it was the request of the Lord Jesus, do this in remembrance of me. Secondly, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, "Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat." What that tells me is this, that before I come to the breaking of bread, I should examine myself, not physically, not to see that I'm properly dressed and so on, but examine myself spiritually. And maybe just the thought is this, that I go back over the previous week and I think about maybe things that, sins that I haven't yet confessed, and maybe things that need to be put right. You see, if I'm not speaking to somebody else in the meeting, there's a problem. That's going to be dealt with before I come and break bread, because I can't sit down and break the bread and proclaim that I'm united with every Christian in the world if I'm not speaking to someone on the other side of the hall. And maybe there's something between my soul and God, maybe something that hasn't yet been put right. Well, really says the Bible, before I come and break bread, I should examine myself and I should put these things right. So these commands deal with my relation to the Lord Jesus. Do this in remembrance of me. It deals with, I suppose you could say, my relation to myself, looking inwards now, and my relation to God. But 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 33, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. Now, we're not going to go into the details of that this evening. There was a problem in Corinth that the Apostle Paul is dealing with. And he says, when you come together, it's going to be an orderly thing. It can't just be done sort of randomly and without consideration for others and so on. And if you want to talk about the details of that, we'll go into that perhaps later on some other occasion. But I've got to take consideration of my brethren and sisters. And the thing has to be done in an orderly fashion. We'll maybe just leave that point there for this evening. So just in closing, it is perhaps the greatest privilege in all of Christian experience to meet as a company of God's people and just speak with God about His Son. Because that's really what we're doing when we come to break bread. We meet together, and as Christians we have taken a delight in the Lord Jesus. God Himself has taken a delight in the Lord Jesus. And what could possibly be more natural than that people who have found a common link, a common affection, a common love for one person should meet together and speak about that person. There in Acts chapter 2, so these early Christians, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in the fellowship and in the breaking of bread. I wonder if it could be said of me that I'm continuing steadfastly in the breaking of bread. That's God's requirement. That's God's request of us. The request of the Lord Jesus. Do this in remembrance of me. It's a sign of good Christian health, if you like, that I gladly respond to a request like that. I do apologize for going over the time. We'll just close in a word of prayer.